Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 20th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Glad to be here. You know, as always, our happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. It is a good time. I love coming together with folks. I love seeing our folks in chat. And, I love getting a chance to talk with you about some fun stuff. And tonight is going to be a good one. And speaking of those that joined us in the chat, we want to throw a shout out to those that are with us tonight live. And we always want to encourage those that do catch up with us from the archives. If you have the opportunity, come check us out live too. You get to be in that conversation, and it does change the experience. But we still appreciate you listening to us from the archives, and we appreciate your feedback. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast tonight, you can find other educational programs at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfu.org. We're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Dr. Vicki, welcome. It's going to be a fun one tonight.
We're going to talk a little numerology today.
I was having a little trouble with my level here. It wasn't really coming across, and I was trying to multitask that and read off that. Don't worry, we're going to fix it in post. But also, a shout-out, I was multitasking. I didn't say it right. It's tfuniversity.org to anybody that's curious. Although, I kind of feel like if you're listening to this, I think you kind of know where to find these programs at, because you're probably in them. It's good stuff, and we always welcome you. But, numerology. This is one of those fun ones, because it's something that I know just enough about to be dangerous in a conversation, by which I mean explain it horribly to misrepresent it. But Dr. Vicki, we've talked about this several times before, and you've always been a wealth of knowledge. And
I don't know about that, but enough to have a conversation. So, numbers. We can go way back to the history of numbers. And then an evolution of numerology. But and I know you can come in on that one too, Michael, when we get to it. But basically, in the English language, and I'm prefacing with that, if you draw a chart of 1 to 9 across the top of your page, and then start doing the alphabet underneath, and then as you go down the columns, you'll find the numbers for the letter. So if you're going to calculate your name number, then, for instance, Vicki is how to spell my name, is a 49329. So then you add up all those and reduce it to a single digit, but you have to do the whole name. So all of your names. And that kind of gives you an imprint, kind of like astrology, is an imprint at birth. And according to numerology, there's, various traits, but I like to I'd like to just tell a story by numbers, 1 to 9. You know, 1 is the beginner, 2 is the worker, 3, you know, ties up loose ends, 4 likes stability, but, you know, does get kind of restless, because 5 likes adventure, 6 likes family commitment, socializing, 7 likes detail, analyzing. 8 is more the educational number, the learning. And 9 is kind of the completion of all those numbers. And some might say it's like enlightenment. Okay. So I'd like to think of it as just as a storyline. So we got this nice long story. But when I tell you that each number can have a volume of descriptions, I mean that. It's kind of like taking an astrological sign and writing a whole book on it, you know, or many books on it. But it's all open to interpretation. And of course, it's subjective. And so there's been an evolution of numerology. To get the birth path number, add up all the numbers in your birthday, the day, the month, and the year. Again, add them up and reduce to a single digit. And that gives you kind of the journey of your life. You know, what's that about? And, you know, again, there are so many varying interpretations of what that means. I did write a course on it. It is on both schools as a practical numerology course. And I have descriptions in there of what I think. And one of the best, you know, numerologists I ever met or knew of is in there. But if we think about life path numbers, a number 1 would be a natural leader. 2 would be kind of a negotiator. 3 is, I think of 3, although some might say the number 2 is the peacekeeper, I like to think that 3 is, because 3 just likes to be happy. And 4 is the organizer. So that's in your lifetime. You know, you're learning about that, or you're good at it naturally. 6, of course, is a nurturer. 7 likes to find hidden things. And, of course, a lot of people think that a 7 is mystical and magical and lucky. But we live 7 days in a week, 7 52-day cycles in a year. And so 7 is a fundamental number. And it says that we're living 7s. So 8 is, now they say it, sometimes it's more of an authoritarian, I can't speak, Michael, authoritative kind of.
Yeah, authoritative, yeah.
Life path. And then 9 would be more of the humanitarian. Now, again, there's a negative and positive to each of these things. You know, there's always a yin yang, always a flip it either way. A destiny number, you add the name number, birth path number, and again, you get this destiny number, which would be interpreted as what your spirit came here to accomplish or to become enlightened about. And, you know, it's just kind of that aspiring.
Right. It's the, you know, what's the goal this time around kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so those, you know, those are the very basics. Caballerians get into the 11, 22, 33, you know, higher enlightenment, excelling. I didn't prefer that. I like to keep it simple because my thing was always tarot. The tarot cards are all numbers. Everything about tarot
just
is numbers.
Real quick to interject here. We're having a bit of a storm around my house, and the lights are kind of browning. So if we stop talking all of a sudden, it's probably because the power went out, and we're just going to have to cycle back on. But just to throw that out there, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But
no, that's good to know, Michael, because then you disappear. I think you put yourself on mute and forgot.
Yeah.
There we go. Well, let's just talk to all the gods and say, put a bubble around your house.
Fingers crossed, huh?
Yeah. So anyway, that's a very basic understanding of numerology. Because I've been doing this a long time, but 25, 30 years ago, I learned I plug in better with people in a session if I just know their very basic numbers. It's kind of like plugging into the grid of the matrix in a way. But then I started to notice patterns. And something I had never read anywhere else was if you're in, let's say you add up, and yeah, you can find out the year you're in. This is everywhere, by the way. The year that you're in is the month, day, and then you would add 2026. And so, again, add and reduce to a single digit. That represents the kind of expression or energy of the year that you're personally in. But then I started to see this pattern. And the 1 to 9 repeats every 9 years. So it's like a different expression of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like if you look back every 9 years, you say, oh, there is a bit of a pattern.
Yeah.
You know, there's this thread that kind of goes. And that's what I started to kind of clue into. Simultaneous, probably back in the 70s, I was reading a lot of Rosicrucian material, H. Spencer Lewis, The Cycles of Life, which he goes by the Sevens, H. Spencer Lewis. Mm. And those books are online now. It used to be you could only get them through the order, but now you can get them through Amazon. So Cycles of Life, it's a really good book. So you
That's
can calculate what cycle you're in of the year as well by sevens. The 7 52-day cycles of, and it corrects on a leap year, like the 52 days after the birthday, the best time for self-promotion. And of course, I could go through all the seven cycles, but the the 52 days before the birthday, which is the seventh cycle, is a good time to decompress, you know. And usually in that time, anything you no longer need in your life kind of naturally falls to the wayside. And then again, what that cycle is good for, not good for, but you want to really self-promote, wait till just after the birthday. So there's all these rhythms, and that's the thing about numbers. They're kind of, it's like musical notes. Of course, music is numbers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and tones. And that's how I kind of see numbers. And I find it, you know, I've always found them really fascinating.
100%.
Again, without going into the great long thing of Caballerianism and so on, although I've read about it, but it didn't appeal to me. And a lot of people change their names based on the want of a number.
Well,
I
was just going to say, it's interesting how numbers resonate with us, the symbolism that they have for different people, you know, what mm-hmm. they mean to different people. Go on.
No, I was just going to say, a lot of people change their names because I've known many people to do this, actually, because they want to identify better with a certain number or a certain
right.
essence. But the thing is, I can't impress enough to everybody that you can't change the time and day you're born any more than you can change your imprint. You can change your expression. And that's what people are doing, trying to live in an expression of self. When a woman gets married, her natural expression changes, but her root, her imprint, is the maiden name at birth on the birth certificate. And even people who are adopted, it's that birth certificate, it's the imprint, although people will take on a different expression. So you can have a full name but have a nickname, that's your expression, but it doesn't change the imprint. Makes sense. So you were going to say something, Michael?
It's true. I was. There have been a couple of stretches here where, again, you can't hear it because just again, because Teams filters it out, but our listeners can hear when my dog Miracle starts barking her head off. And I think my tinnitus is getting worse in my left ear. There have been a couple stretches where I have no idea what you were saying because she was going off on a tangent, probably the thunder, the, you know, all of that. She's hearing something and she's barking at it. But
One of the things about being live.
Yeah, tell me about it. There's plenty of things that come to mind. This is a rich topic. You know, you were talking about looking at those patterns, the repeating the sevens. It makes me think a lot too about. I don't know, again, so I'm not entirely sure what we've covered or not, but I also think about the relationship to 12 is a big part of that as well. Mm-hmm. It has an ancient connotation. It is that, you know, ancient base 12 math system that the Sumerians, Babylonians, all that Mesopotamian mm-hmm. stuff had. And yeah. It just comes from that, you know, simple way of counting, you know. There are four, you know, three sections on the four fingers on your hand. You use your thumb to count. The other hand, five fingers, count them down. You know, that's how you get 60, base 60 for time. You know, all these different multiples of 12. It's kind of crazy the relationship that humanity has with numbers, with math, how important for survival seeing these patterns were and timing it out. You're talking about these cycles. And when I hear you talk about these cycles, it makes me think, back to what you hear about the early human beings and the different, you know, the first peoples that traveled the earth, and they had to learn to see the patterns in the stars, to see the patterns in the seasons, to know when to plant, when to harvest, when to hunt. Well, the planting and harvesting didn't come until several thousand years later. But, you know, the hunt, you know, the seasons. It's just interesting stuff. It's a deeply spiritual connection that humanity has with math. And you wouldn't think so. Math seems sterile almost, doesn't it? But no, it's not. I mean, everything is math. Numbers are important because they are a way to quantify some things that are very difficult to quantify. And it's not perfect. You know, every number, you know, what constitutes 1 degree of something is all kind of an arbitrary thing, but it helps us maintain a common reference point.
Absolutely. I would like to qualify something here, everybody. I had this revelation many years ago about numerology in particular, that what our understanding of it, which really the charting, the Pythagorean charting of how to do it, you know, finding your alphabet and stuff, goes way back. But our understanding of basic numerology is anglicized. So if I know I've said this on the program in the past, if I'm doing somebody's name number, but they come from a different culture, nationality, you know, whether they have different numbers for symbols in other languages. So to get the accurate imprint, you would have to know that language and then chart by that language. But again, how many letters are in their alphabet, you know? And so we've really anglicized all of our metaphysical understandings of things like numerology and math, because math was very different or viewed very differently in the past. And, you know, we've advanced, like, exponentially in our understanding of it, right down to, you know, how many hertz the earth vibrates at, you know. It's like, it's kind of crazy how far it's gone. But I really wanted to make that point, that if you want to know somebody's true imprint, you would have to go by, whatever there is. For instance, if they're Indian, if they're Chinese, if, you know, you would have to know the numbers of that alphabet to be able to correctly get that. I've talked to a few numerologists about this, and of course, people didn't think about it. Because again, this is the thing about anything we study and we're learning about, it's always question things. You know, it's like, who made that up? How did that start? Where did that begin? Whose interpretation is that? How did they see it? So a lot of interpretations that you read, especially from old books, would be interpretive to that time period and how people viewed the world at that time, how people behaved at that time. So all those observations is about that particular culture. And we have evolved. We've got a very different culture now than 50 years ago. So keep in mind how you interpret things now is going to have a little bit of a different viewpoint. So, you know, to stay open-minded to that possibility of how we read history, how we look at the present day, and how we see the future, because it's all very subjective.
Yeah. Know? Well, isn't that the truth? But
you had something, a couple of things that you were talking about before the program, Michael, I found really interesting too.
Oh, I was just going down the rabbit hole of numerology and history, and I was just kicking around different things on a Wikipedia, you know, rabbit holes. But we talked about it earlier, the relationship that humans have had with numbers going back to the Fertile Crescent, Mesopotamia, all of that leads into the concepts that we have, because in Africa and Eurasia, all of these ideals are swirling around, they're intermixing, and you see early examples of numerology in all of the, the Near East cultures. You know, you have the Hebrew examples of it. The one thing that I was going down with you, too, is... there was a man named Agrippa who wrote a book called The Three Books of Occult Philosophy. And I was going down a rabbit hole of that just because it just was interesting. Heinrich Cornelius Agrippa, The Study of the Occult Philosophy. But he wrote this in the 1500s. What? Go ahead.
Oh, that far back.
Yeah. No, it was... Oh. Yeah, it was relatively recent, to be honest, in terms of human or, you know, civilizational standards. But, yeah, no, it was like 500 years ago. But, we go back to Sumerians. That's, 4,000 years ago?
Well, we've talked about that in the past. Human beings have always been fascinated with spirituality. Yeah. You know, that something else, that other thing we're looking for, you know. But I think that numbers tell a story. And... how I like to view it is that they're in every expression. You know, when my oldest daughter, when she was in school, had a really hard time with math. Mm. And so she took some extra math courses when she was finished high school and watched a film. And it was all about nature and the math in nature. And she had a light bulb moment of... Oh, it's everywhere. Math and numbers are everywhere. They're in the shape of leaves and flowers and, you know, number of petals on a flower. You know, it goes on and on about, you know, how we live in this numeric system, mathematical system. And then, yeah, she had a light bulb moment start to make sense. But again, is she going to be a mathematician? No. Because you can, you know, all those symbols that they put up on chalkboards, you know, Michael, like, whoa,
right.
That's
well,
just like Greek.
You know, math, exactly. Math is a language unto itself. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely what it is. And it's interesting when you're going through school, when you reframe it exactly like you said, it opens up new ways of thinking, new ways of looking at things, and you kind of understand the language that's being used. And math is interesting in this, that universal thing, right? You know, it's that idea that there's nothing needed to verify it, right? Like it's, how do I want to say it? You know, if civilization gets wiped out and restarts, you know, they're going to figure it out again. Alien life can, you know, figure out. It's that kind of fundamental thing. Mathematics is the universal language. Isn't that something they've said before?
Yeah, it's kind of like the golden ratio, you know?
Yeah.
It's at 1.0 1618, I think. And, you know, that's, when you think about spirals in nature and, I don't know, sunflowers, seashells, you know, so everything is kind of this movement in nature, numbers. So it just popped in my head, you know, it's like, and then pi.
The
Fibonacci, Fibonacci sequence.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many ways you can go off into math. But again, my brain doesn't always work like that. And I like to keep it simple. And my understanding of numerology simple, because then I take it more into an abstract place. And there's so many things you can draw out of, as like intuitively, what belongs to whom and at what time. So it's kind of like, let's say your name number is a one, and that would make you a natural born leader. It would make you, but you're, let's say you're somebody who's really introspective. Well, that's something that you're learning about in this lifetime. It's how to be your own manager. Be your own boss. It doesn't have to be a leader of others, you know. But that would be a different expression when you're 20 versus when you're 40. So it's like intuitively drawing out the expression of that number and how it applies to you in that moment. So that's where I take it when that abstract or esoteric application of numerology. It's because again, one number can be a volume. You know, but again, subject to the times we're living in. It kind of reminds me of my late friend Emma. She was born in 1920, and I met her when she was 75. She went on to have a new career in running a homeopathic section of a pharmacy and for seniors. And she lived to be in her 90s, but we would have talks about how life was when she was a girl, how people treated each other differently before and after the war. And keeping in mind, you know, she's around age 20 in 1920, and interesting, the time when women had to go to work, her then fiance was killed in a plane crash. So now here she is, a single woman, younger, and just the whole dynamic of dating and men and relationships from her perspective, and how that changed through all those decades. And here she was, I'm not kidding you, Michael, here she was at 78, 79 years old, having this affair with a man who's 55. You know,
scandalous.
I know. I just think it's wonderful fun. She's having a good time. But it's, again, she had this whole other view. So if you're 20 now, you have a very different view of the world than the Emmas back in 1920. And I know in 1975, I was 20. That was a very different world. So everything that we're viewing is through that subjective experience of your reality.
You know,
and that's something I try to impart to other readers when I have the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know,
I was going to say, when this is kind of off topic of numerology, but when you talk about it was a different world in the 1970s, it absolutely was. And as we, you know, hit the Enlightenment, the Industrial Revolution, it's been picking up speed. But, you know, yeah, it was a new world, kind of, you know, for many thousands of years, basically from the advent of the major cities, writing, agriculture. I mean, there was, yeah, of course there was advancement, there were changes, there was philosophy, there was, you know, different logic things, there was all kinds of stuff. But the speed at which the change occurred was glacial compared to what we have now. And people are still impatient, and I get it. I'm impatient too. I want change to happen faster. You know, why can't I push a couple buttons and we can't just change society around a little bit and make it better? That's not how life works, but it is incredible the way that change is occurring at such a rapid pace that basically every decade in the 20th century was an era that no people had really experienced beforehand, and that continues right up to today. Because no humans in the history of humanity has ever experienced life the way that we do now in the internet age, with the smartphones that we have, with social media, with the information avalanche, you know, just the fire hose of information that we get through the internet. This constant connection has never been. There's never been anything like it. There's nothing to, this is a true first in known history, unless, you know, we got some Atlanta stuff going on in the background that that I don't know about. But you know what I'm saying? It's just, it's that level of, it's just insane when you really think about it.
Well, it's just a vast, you know, we can go into a vast, great, wide understanding of things, or we can go into a micro and find what's comfortable for us. And that's kind of thanks, Audra, for the comment. She's saying, thanks for reminding me to learn more about numerology. I used to read a lot and felt like I had a pretty good grasp, but now I feel like I don't know. you know, Audra, I learn so much every day. It's not kidding. I didn't see it that way before, or, oh, I didn't know about that before. And, you know, it can be a little thing like you get a new can opener and how do these newfangled things work? I don't know. But when it comes to metaphysics and exploring communication and, I mean, the list is long. There's always something to learn. And even with numerology for myself, it's like I come across another nugget and say, oh, well, that's another way to see that. I hadn't thought of that before. So, you know, that's what I do in practical numerology course is keep it really simple. And I go into the very basic understandings, you know, basic computations, basic cycles of life, and giving credit to, you know, some of where I've extracted information from, and then my own take on things. But we do talk about the golden ratio and Fibonacci sequence and stuff as well, and make reference to videos. And so it just gives that, what's my practical understanding? Because you can do numbers for your business. You can do the cycles of life for your business. You can do numbers for where you're living and your address. You know, you can do it for your latitude of where you live. You know, you can kind of get an energetic feel, which would correlate then with vortexes and grid lines on the planet. I mean, you can take this, Michael, to the nth degree. It's quite interesting. You know, it's a, you know, how is it that that little town has its own vibe and feel? Well, where is it? What are the numbers? And there are people that do that. There are people that do really stretch it right down to, I met a reader once in Sedona who would do a global placement of where the best places on the planet would be for you to live. I know.
And this place, that was?
This would be a good place for love and expression. This place would be good for making money. You know, I mean, I went, wow, that was a lot of years ago, but I hadn't ever thought of that. So she took it to a place that was new to me. So that's how far you can take numbers. It can get kind of insane, to be honest. So, but I, you know, it's just another thing to think about, everybody. That's why we're here, you know, make you think, you know, have some conversation and stimulate our, you know, minds to explore a little bit, keep exploring. So I hope the conversation has helped you out a little bit or gave you new things to think about. And I think we're at that time, Michael. What we ordinarily do for those who are new in the live chat and the archives is Michael will pick an Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly. And I turn over a supporting tarot card and see if there's a story to tell or an affirmation or something. What do you say, Michael? Are you there?
I've been on mute for a hot minute. Anywho,
I knew it.
Yeah, I've been talking. I've had commentary. But I was like, man, she just really wanted to charge forward there. I guess I would start to talk, and then you would start talking again. I'm like, well, a little rude. It's whatever. Fine. We'll just go on with it. Oh, hey, I'm on mute. Never mind. But, yes, we do have cards tonight. It has been a great discussion and full of nuance and avenues that we could go down. But, yeah, it's that time of the evening, and it's time to draw some cards. So I think our first card was Dawn, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And Dawn, tonight, let's see, you have number 39. Number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Well, the Hierophant is usually about conformity and order. And more, but I've always seen another essence in that, Dawn. It's something to do with the home, and maybe it's your philosophy for life, spirituality, perhaps, you know. But it's and kind of maybe your education is building one formula for your life. And you know, I always said with raising kids that I had one formula for life, but I had to tailor to individual needs. You know, this kid needs more sleep. This one needs more food. This one can't eat this, you know. So you're tailoring to needs, but you have a general philosophy for life that you kind of adhere to. Now, some of that may change as you go through life. So education and the Hierophant is kind of what I'm seeing here is changing your worldview is now changing your home view and the conduct of, you know, your daily life and how you see yourself in the world. And I hope that makes sense. I see it as a really positive affirmation myself, but, you know, anything that brings greater order to your life or makes you feel more comfortable with yourself in the world is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. Hey, real quick, I just want to interject. Normally we have Winnie, our card keeper, here with us, and she was kind enough to pop in and say hi. She is getting ready for, if I'm not mistaken, her son's wedding that's coming up.
Yes.
And getting her up for that trip. So just a shout out if you listen later, Wendy. Hey, we're thinking of you, wishing you the best, and, you know, just with all the chaos that goes into a trip, wish you good luck on that. So have fun. It's going to be a great time. But yeah. We do have Dr. Kevin next for cards, if I'm right. And Dr. Kevin, I'm going to tell you a little something. My dogs chewed up my cards. I have the cards that I kept in a pack with the guidebook. And they chewed it up.
Funny.
And this was, I don't know, a month or two, three, whatever it was. And instead of grabbing a new deck, you know, and going through that, I've been using an electronic version that I have of the guidebook, and I do a random number generator, right? 1 through 54, including the wild cards. And there was an interesting run just now. For the next few, you'll find out, but this starts us off of our kind of repeating pattern there for a second that was kind of interesting. 4, which is, drumroll please, as I go back to that guidebook, past, present, and future. So, Dr. Kevin, past, present, and future. The three universal laws of... I'm sorry?
I was going to say, this sounds familiar for Kevin.
Oh, does it? The three universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect to do others... I can't speak tonight. Don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect your past choices, and embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
I got the world. I love that, Kevin. And it seems to me, Wendy, hopefully next week will be with us. She can let us know, but I think you've had this before, past, present, future. But with the world, all the elements are in your favor. There might be one thing that needs correcting, one of the corners of your life, maybe, a little attention, but the world is there and the energy is changing. So be really clear with yourself how you want things to be. It's not so much you have to focus on absolute deliberate intent, but letting things breathe with the essence of the energy that you want to move forward with. So, because opportunities are there, doors are opening, Kevin. I see that as it's like a really good thing. So I think over the next few weeks, you're going to find yourself in a whole new place, and it's really positive. I love it.
All right.
We have Audra.
Audra, next up in our little interesting loop. Audra, we went from 4, you get 44. So Audra gets number 44, attitude or disposition. Enthusiasm or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding something in your life is necessary. It can be positive or it can be negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Well, the Two of Hearts, Two of Cups, has to do with partnering, relationship. That doesn't have to be an intimate relationship, Audra. It can be, but it's more about how you align with others. And it's kind of, you can take it from friendships. You know, maybe you might be clearing house of negative people to really be sure. There's a joining up and I'm trying to find the words, Michael. I'm trying to find them. I feel them, but I got to find them. A greater relationship or plural forming in your life that you feel even more secure with and comfortable with. So your attitude and disposition is also about being open to that because you see relationships differently. So, and again, that could very well be in a partnering kind of relationship, intimate relationship, but my gut says it's a little more than that. It'd be, screening people of who you want in your life and who you don't, and who's coming to Sunday dinner and the others are no. So that's what I think is that attitude and disposition, the clarity. I like it. Your heart is opening. That's cool.
Very good. All right.
And Jeff, we have Jeff.
We do. And Jeff, this comes to our next part of the cycle. We went from 4 to 44 to 54, which is actually wild card number 9, but I have to punch it in that way. But 4, 44, 54. Wild card number 9, blank. The 54th card in the deck. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be, it's what you need it to be, and it's all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
The Five of Spades is, like Five of Swords, I always see that as a victory card, Jeff. And look, we know what you've just been through. So, Jeff says he's 54, so we got number 54, Michael. And for those who didn't know about last week, Jeff has survived a heart attack and is on the mend with care with his wife, Shauna, and doing fine.
Mm-hmm. Under strict supervision, if I'm to understand.
Yes. And so we're very, very glad about that. But the blank is like anything is possible. Jeff, blank, mm-hmm. It's like it's open. And with that Five of Spades, it's like the kind of the greatest challenge or the battle is over. And now it's the victory time. So I think this experience you've had in the last week or two has shifted your energy and your viewpoint to be more confident. And for those who don't know, Blind Outdoorsman, I love plugging Jeff. He does great videos and, you know, great posts online and social media. He did one today also, how to make almond milk. I had no idea. So he makes his own almond milk. You'd be amazed at what Jeff can do with very limited sight. So he really shares, you know, he really shares that whole experience with others. So, I mean, this, I think this is a really good thing. The worst is over, Jeff, and, just keep taking care of yourself and carry on your journey because it's expanding. That's what I see here. Anything is possible now. Good for you.
Well said. Well said.
You know, thanks for the feedback, everybody. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I think it's really trippy that you picked number 54 for Jeff, who is 54.
Well, I've been in the habit of picking a run of random numbers, you know, six usually. Tonight I picked five just for the heck of it. I just ran five off real quick and went 39, 4, 44, 54, 49. So I thought that was an interesting run of fours. Four numbers that had four in them. I mean, so. I don't know.
Well, you got to think about the odds.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, and just for the heck of it, the 49th card is wild card number four. And just for the heck of it, that is unknowable. So,
read it out loud.
One. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable, unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leanings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
You know, come to think of it, between Audra's cards and what you've just said, Michael, the unknowable, I have been observing, along with a couple of friends of mine, we've been observing, like, there's some magnetic shifts happening. And basically, new connections or renewed connections with people of like mind, like heart. And I'm going to tell you a quick story. Just over a week ago, almost 2 weeks ago, I get a friend request from this woman. I don't know the name, you know, who is this? But, you know, it could be anybody. So I go and I check it out. Well, we have mutual friends. Oh, from high school. And then I look at her first name. I look at her picture and I go, oh my. So I go on the chat and I said, is this so-and-so? She goes, yes. Well, Michael, we went to kindergarten all the way through to grade 12 together. Now, I haven't seen her since 1973. She then notices on Facebook my picture, you know, blah, blah. There was a 50-year high school reunion a couple of years ago, but I didn't go. She did. Well, we're both, I said, here's my number. She's, oh, you're in BC? I said, yeah. She goes, so am I. I said, well, phone me. Well, lo and behold, we live in the same town, Michael. She lives here with her husband, and she has a son that lives here with his kids. And I thought, what is that?
Yeah, right.
How does that happen? And it's like we're a lot in alike in energy, and you know, so we have similar views, politics. You know, come from that. You know. What I call the pseudo-Canadian hippie era. And it just how people have changed. She'd been married for 50 years. You know, freaks me out. And it just, like, what is that? So then I've also talked to other people who have been having very similar experiences. A friend of mine, Shelley, in Edmonton, same thing. Old friend of hers that she's known since birth, hasn't talked to in years, was contacted, and the woman was visiting in town, and they got together, and she said it was like we were never apart. Their energy, the conversations, they visited for hours.
Just picked that up.
And for those who may or may not know, My son and I have now been in touch and talking for the first time in 15 years. So there's this energetic shift occurring, I think. And, you know, good attracting good and filtering out the rest, you know, and it will prevail. That's kind of a little message I thought to share with you, as Michael was saying, unknowable.
Glad you did. You know, that is wild. And it is always just the best reminder to look for that mysterious in life because, you know, times are stressful. You know, we all get it. I think a lot of that is just because of, again, the avalanche of information. I mean, aside from, you know, some potential world-ending things like, you know, I don't know, AI taking over our military and nuking us, or who knows, like, you know, climate change. Anyway, aside from a couple world-ending things, you know, things are pretty good. I mean, we've been through tough times before. We've been through, you know, societal upheaval.
Maybe not as weird.
I don't know. People have been stupid for a long time. I digress. But no, if you actually, you know, I mean, a lot of the discourse around a lot of the turmoil around, you know, even the 1930s, that's less than 100 years ago. I mean, there were a lot of people that just were not terribly bright. It's just a weird thing. I mean, so you have to put it into perspective to where things are tough. Yes, they're not even close to the toughest they've been in 100 years. I'd argue not the toughest they've been in the last 50 years. In the last 25, yeah, they are. They're the worst they've been in the 25 years. But, you know, I mean, because in the 70s and 80s in the Western world, we had obviously the Cold War. We had gas shortages. We had massive inflation. We had, you know, geopolitical turmoil that kind of continued throughout. But anyway, so just,
you know,
put a reminder.
A little thing in there. When people complain to me about the interest rate, I say people were buying houses back in the 80s for 18% interest.
True. So, but those houses were $20 in a handshake. But that being said, yes, you're 100%
That's
right.
Funny.
So I say all of that to also say, to your point of unknowable, yes, life is unknowable, but good things can be right around the corner too. You know, yeah, we're going through some upheaval right now. We're going through a change. But this would be the perfect time to put a cliche in about how the Chinese word for crisis is also opportunity. I kind of low-key hate that, but it's not wrong. So in this case, you know, the fact that things always change always keeps hope alive, you know? So just hold on to that too.
There is this really cool quantum entanglement going on, everyone. That's what I'm saying to you. It's like, I've said this before, I called this year a correction year. And yeah, are things tough? Yes. Is it, minorly stressful? It certainly can be. Do you have to budget tighter? Yes. A lot of things to look at. I think that we cannot go a day without feeling some gratitude if you have a place to live and you got food in the fridge and you got clothes on your back and you got people who love you and you love them, and be ever so grateful that you're there. And if those who are listening are having a little bit of a tough time, please reach out. Reach out to your neighbor. Reach out to a friend. Just reach out. Because there are all kinds of good people in this world who want to help. So.
Well said.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all we have for tonight, Michael.
It is. And, you know, what a good way to go out. Because that is just a lovely, lovely sentiment. It has been a good one. I think I'm going to cajole Dr. Vicky here into talking about some free will, determinism, the nature of time. Is things set in stone? That's going to be a fun chat. I think we'll do that next week.
Yeah.
And
what is determinism? What is free will? I'd like to know.
So I think it's going to be a good conversation. All right. Well, that is everything for tonight. You know, I'm trying to think if I had any last points. I did. But, you know, when you get to be my age, you know, I'm like going to be 96 next week. So at that point, they just don't stick in your mind as much. But I always throw it to Dr. Vicky. What do you got for us to sign us off?
Don't let them push you around out there, people. Be yourself. Don't let people make you uptight and bonkers and, you know, no rage, road rage in the traffic and stuff. You know, I honest to God, I see these people just flying right by me. We all get to the red light at the same time. You know, I say, well, what's all the fuss? You know, so don't let them push you around out there. Don't let them rile you up.
Good. Good words to live by. Well, with that, we're going to wish everybody a good night. Please join us next week. It's going to be a great conversation. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.